when you daven, when you light the candles, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, what is everybody thinking of that davening for their children? They should be healthy. They should have nachas. They should, you know, do well in school. They should get married. All these tefillos are encompassed when you daven by the lech.
Hi, I'm Alex Fletcher.
And I'm Rivki Silver.
And this is Deep Meaningful Conversations, powered by Meaningful Minute,
the podcast where we explore the complexities, nuances, and joys of being a frum woman. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. We hope you had a wonderful Rosh Hashanah. Today's episode is a special early release right before Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, we have the minhag to bench our children. This can be a wonderful experience or a painful reminder of what we don't have for those of us in Klal Yisrael who are struggling with infertility. This period of the year has many reminders. The most obvious are Kol Na'arim and Simchas Torah, dancing with the children. But it's especially difficult to skip parts of the Siddur for those of us who do not have children.
Yes, Rivki. And, you know, infertility is a topic we've wanted to discuss on DMC from some time now. But I'm going to be completely honest with all of you. You know, as you've come to know our style, you've probably noticed that Rivki and I like to talk in the beginning of each episode about, you know, how we can relate to the topic, our personal thoughts, you know, struggles and experiences with the issue that we're addressing in that particular episode. So we want to be real and honest, and we certainly don't want to come across as insensitive or lacking awareness or understanding.
Absolutely. So while this may not be our personal challenge, you know, we've talked about our children on the podcast before, but what we can offer us to this discussion is the awareness that we want to have and the sensitivity that we want to learn when it comes to understanding the experiences of those in our communities who deal with infertility. Like, I want to know is, what are the do's and don'ts when it comes to, you know, speaking about this topic? Is there any language or terminology that's more appropriate and sensitive than others? Like, how can I support a friend or family member who has shared with me that she's experiencing infertility? You know, what's the experience like for couples who are living with such within, you know, such family-centric communities like the Orthodox community, you know?
So for today's episode, we have the honor of speaking with Hani Bachner, who founded Boni Olam. Boni Olam is a Jewish organization that provides millions of dollars annually in fertility treatment funding, and they leave no stone unturned to help couples achieve the dream of parenthood. They also provide various levels of support to couples facing infertility, from medical referrals to counselor support. Boni Olam is also the founder of the incredible Vizakeni initiative that is almost 50,000 women donating a dollar at candlelighting to support couples and fertility treatments. So Hani is going to tell us all about all of these initiatives and her personal journey, as well as how she started Boni Olam.
By the end of today's episode, we hope you walk away inspired by Hani Bachner's story and have a greater understanding and sensitivity to the experience of those who struggle with infertility. If you yourself have this struggle, we hope that you gain chizuk from this conversation with a woman who has helped so many Jewish couples make their dream of parenthood come true. We also hope you appreciate Hani's comments about what she wants people to understand about the experience of couples facing infertility. Welcome, Hani, to Deep Meaningful Conversations. Thank you so much for taking the time to have this important conversation with us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's really an honor. So tell us about Boni Olam. How does Boni Olam, the organization that you founded together with your husband, help couples who are struggling with infertility? What role do they play in that journey?
It started 24 years ago. We were on our journey, our own parsha, and we had met a couple that actually was short in money, and they had asked us if we can borrow them some money. And we were also then, and we didn't know if we were able to continue in our journey at that time. So I spoke with my husband and I said, yes, we can do it. Baruch Hashem, this family, they had their baby then, and they continue to have another five children, wow. Baruch Hashem. By now, they're grandparents.
Wow.
So it was really it was an eye-opener to say, hey, people are sitting home or can't continue with their treatment because they don't have the funds. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh my goodness, that they are just sitting home and doing nothing. And I said to myself, no, this really, we got to do something. And I actually got a phone call not long after that from a woman by the name of Pessy Bornfreund. And she asked me, I heard that you might be interested in fundraising for couples to go for infertility treatments. So I said, yes. And we had our meeting, Baruch Hashem, that was back in 1998, with another four ladies, Rivki Kleinbart, Pessy Bornfreund, Yocheva Twersky, Kitty Linder, and myself. And we, Baruch Hashem, we formed Bonei Olam. Wow. And we were women on our own for a year. And that first party that we had was, wow. It was in a house. It was just awe-inspiring that everybody was just, they were squished into this house. From there, we took it forward. But after a year, I said to my husband, you know what? And he thought I was really, you know, crazy doing this. You know, we were in our own parsha. It was painful. But my husband, I must say, he stepped up to the plate and he took this. We went baby steps and continued growing, started in our own community here at Borough Park, and we grew to Williamsburg, Flatbush, Muncie, Monroe, Cleveland, Detroit, Chicago, Baltimore, California, wow. Now actually recently Florida. Wow. And then out of the United States, we are in Montreal, England. We just opened up our fourth chapter in England. That was Gateshead. We are in Stamford Hill, Golders Green, Manchester. We are in Berchem, Belgium. And Belgium actually takes care of the whole Europe.
Wow.
And last but not least is Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael, we are huge, really huge. You know, I go with my husband to Eretz Yisrael. He has a lot of work there. Like wherever we're going, people just stop us in the streets with their kinderlach and they say, hey, these are your grandchildren, of course, in Hebrew and Yiddish. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we don't know the people. It's just something like, it really gets you when you actually meet the people, because within Bonei Olam, there are counselors, Baruch Hashem, and I don't see them. My husband, few they get to meet, but it's most of them we don't. So it's really, really special. And Bonei Olam is very, very dear and close to our hearts, and it should continue, and we shouldn't need it.
Yes.
Amen. But still, we don't need it. We are really far and wide. Mm-hmm. And we really never wanted to, we didn't have the intentions of starting an organization, so to say. It was an idea of just helping fertility couples go for treatment. And from that, we, Baruch Hashem, Kanayin Ahara, have today over 10,000 babies. Think of that.
Wow.
Think of who we, you know, 10,000 babies that I actually tell my husband that it's really much more, because there are many, many phone calls that never get recorded. It's just a question, a here or there. And they brought them through that. They have their children. And each of our programs actually started from a question from someone who was a Nitzrach, who needed something. And we didn't know the answer. We did research. We are research and development, that we check out many, many facilities throughout the world, many doctors, many professors, and we learn what's on the up and coming treatments out there. And this is how we keep furthering. That's how we got from very tiny to Kanayin Ahara.
Right.
Huge.
Building so many worlds, so many worlds. It's really just mind boggling to think about all those neshamas.
I have to ask, I'm curious, you mentioned in the beginning, it was just you on your own, it sounded like, with some ladies, and your husband said, why, we're dealing with our own struggle. What are you doing? At what point did he come on board to build Bonei Olam?
Oh, that was, in the beginning, I was on the phone till 2-3 in the morning, and he would just keep saying, what do you need this for? Why are you doing this? You had enough your own pain. It was, it's true, but at that point, it was just, It was difficult, but I really, really felt that people should not I knew that in our journey, we actually had to wait till we had enough money to go for the treatment. Mm-hmm. So it took us time. And I keep saying, like, you know, when you meet a couple going through this and they say they need, how could we not do this for our brothers and sisters? It was a very tough thing with my husband. And it was Erev Yom Kippur, and he was going to shul. And I said, Shlomi, you're not leaving here until you tell me that you're coming on board and helping.
What a story.
And, you know, it was very, very difficult, but he actually acquiesced and said yes. And I must say, even though he didn't think that he was capable of doing this, he is unbelievable. He's Kanayin Har, very talented, and Hashem should help us continue, because nothing is without Siyata Deshmaya. We see it in so many instances. If it's with a couple that people never think, and they never thought that they would really, that it was such little hope. It was like, come on, nothing. And my husband would, you know, be there for the couple and try to give them chizuk and say, listen, we have to try our best. Let's do what we need to do. And Hashem will do the rest. And he has shown us many, many times. And I must tell you, when my husband has either a parlor meeting or a gathering, and he tells, it could be like a class that's for a younger man, a couple that is suffering, and they say they want to do something. And he says, you know what? Give that extra help. Give that extra strength in going and raising funds for your friend. Hashem sees this in Shamayim, and he sees how much you are giving of yourself. And that's what he wants from his kindleach down here. He wants that each and every one should be a part, even though you know, everybody's doing their job, their mitzvah of pruvu, but they're going to ask us in Shamayim, did you really do, like, it really means, are you helping others do pruvu? So it's, and I have to tell you, there were many, many, a story that this young man, this couple was really, there wasn't much hope. But Hashem does it all. And because he saw that they really put together with their last efforts, a lot of money, and they were helped. Baruch Hashem.
Wow.
There's so many instances.
I'm sure you have.
It surprises us, and it gives us the chizuk. I must tell you, a very big chizuk is when people are helping and coming out and calling us, I want to help, I want to do something. It gives us the strength to go on, because it's not easy.
Wow. Can you walk us through just what happens, like, when someone calls Bonei Olam, what happens? What are the steps that someone who is interested in calling and getting help would, like, what would it be like if I called, then what would be the next step that someone would, you said there were counselors, like, how does it work?
We have, it's step by step that people get a PIN number, they're asked what it is they need, they fill out an application, whatever it is that they're asked of, and I'm really not involved in the day-to-day, you know, in the office and how it goes with the counselors. I'm not a counselor. I do get a lot of phone calls at home, some, you know,
I'm sure.
But those phone calls are more chizuk, or mother calls, you know, how to handle with their children. So they fill out applications and they get PIN numbers, and then it goes from there. They're assigned to their counselors. And if for some reason they're not such a match, sometimes they change their counselor. But I really, that part is not something that I'm that involved in.
Okay. It sounds like a beautiful system. And something that we would really love to discuss is the Vizakeini Initiative, which has really, really taken the film world by storm.
So Vizakeini actually started in the beginning of COVID. The communities were closed down. The world was shut down. There was really no communication. People weren't going to work, to offices. They did things from home. Everybody was really afraid of what the next thing is, what's happening. When you daven, when you light the candles, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, what is everybody thinking of? That davening for their children, they should be healthy, they should have nachas, they should, you know, do well in school, they should get married. All these tefillahs are encompassed when you daven by the lecht. And My husband says, you know what? Why don't we go and get a lot of women to go and daven for a couple every week? And this is how, and you're giving, it's a minimal, just a dollar. It's mind-boggling how this actually grew. And imagine what's going on in Shemayim now, when every single week and every single yontif, Kamat, almost 50,000 women are davening together Erev Shabbos, giving tzedakah and davening for his kinderlach to have children. We get a name of a couple. Now it's two couples. It's and that feedback, we do give feedback of, you know, what's happening, mazel tovs and so on and so forth. It's awe-inspiring.
I read in Mishpacha, I believe you have almost every state represented. You have someone in almost every single state who's davening and involved in Vizakini.
I don't even know. I think it's even out of the United States. Mm-hmm, but sure. It's beautiful. It's really something that's, yeah. And every day someone's joining.
Yeah.
Every single day. They hear stories. It's really something, a very special thing that grew from COVID.
I think it's beautiful. I mean, this is why, you know, like social initiatives are so effective, is that now I feel, not that I'm writing a check or swiping my credit card to some campaign, but I am part of something as a donor, and I may be donating just $1 every week. But I know, like when I'm lighting Licht, I am together with all of these women sharing in one thing. It's really right. a brilliant concept. And it's,
and you don't know who you are, you know, right. davening with. We don't know the women and we don't know the couple. We just have their name, and it's to have them in mind. It's something, it's so special. Just imagine really if you would think of being in one room, like in the Beis HaMikdash, right, right. being together with all these mm-hmm. women. It's awe-inspiring yeah. that we're all davening together. And I encourage the women who actually join that they should get others, mm-hmm. their friends, their family, mother, sisters, brother, anybody that could really—it's an easy thing to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
it's really, really easy.
It's such a schuss in yeah. such a powerful way.
And yeah, you know, exactly. imagine we grow up to 75,000.
Right. I mean, the numbers are boggling.
Right.
And we're Baruch Hashem doing very well. You know, the couples that we're davening for Baruch Hashem are being helped.
Right.
These are couples that. They don't always fall into the criteria, Bonei Olam's criteria of where we're helping. It's like if it's genetics and they have to go for many, many treatments in order to preserve, to make it work better. It's something that they have to go for a long time and a lot more funds. Mm-hmm. So those are the ones that we help that are benefiting from this.
And if anyone wants to join, they just go to the website?
Yes.
No, we can
yes.
include it
we'll,
in
yeah, we'll include that information in the show notes of our podcast.
It's really, it's not a big deal. You know, when you die.
It's a dollar a week, right?
It's a dollar a week. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you feel very good.
Mm-hmm, beautiful.
You feel connected to so many in Klal Yisrael. Mm. Both connected to the couple that we're helping and connected to the people that are davening, that we're all davening right. together.
I love it.
And I know yeah. we had this Tehillim thing for Vizakeni, and it was over 10,000 people davening together and finishing awesome. The Tehillim.
What is this? I don't know about this. What Tehillim thing for the Zakeni? Can you tell me about it?
Rabbi Biederman had said this story, how it helps saying Tehillim twice, Rosh Hashanah at night.
Yeah.
I actually did it together with my husband, Rosh Hashanah at night, but the Zakeni actually made this, that they joined, and there were a lot of people who went and joined on this, that they weren't even part of the Zakeni program, but they joined the Tehillim of doing it twice. This spread like wildfire, and they just kept, so we were over 10,000.
Wow.
Hmm. Yes.
You mentioned that you started Vizakeni during COVID, and it was a time we were so right. isolated, and what a wonderful opportunity for us to unite and connect over this shared cause. And you know, I think we all want connection, and it's something that's so lacking despite all of our technological connection we have these days. To be part of something bigger than ourselves is just truly beautiful. Chani, tell us, I was just reading that Boney Olam has been involved in some major medical advancements, that you're involved in bringing new like uterine transplants, bringing to the firm community. Tell us about that.
Yes, yes. This is a real crown jewel of wow. Boney Olam.
Wow.
This is quite recent, and Rav Chaim Lando, one of our huge counselors that really, he's Kanayin Ahara, he does a lot of research and development in Boney Olam many years, and he had done homework. This was in Sweden where the professor had started it, and he actually was following this for a number of years, their success, how it was working. You know, we don't want to start something that we don't know anything about. And
right.
Baruch Hashem, it was brought in to America in Texas. That is where we are doing it. We, you know, are working together with the doctors there and the hospital. I think it's called Baylor Hospital. And they're also in two other places, I think Alabama and actually Cleveland. You said you're from Cleveland?
Wow. Yeah.
Yes. But right now we're working with Texas, and this is something huge because this has, it encompasses so many actual programs that we are doing and that it is helping. Because imagine, Nebuch, a girl is born without a uterus. Hmm. And what are the parents? The parents are heartbroken. We are actually doing, with Hashem's help, the impossible is becoming possible. Mm. It's such a horrible feeling of what your child is not going to have children. How are you going to deal with her growing up? How are you going to deal, imagine when it comes to Shidduchim? How are you going to break the news to her?
Right.
It's extremely, extremely painful. And Baruch Hashem, through this initiative, we're helping families with the Shidduchim, by giving them hope that they can actually marry off their child and there's hope. You see, nobody knows how things work out medically.
Right.
But that first hope gives everybody so much to go, you can go and do a Shidduch already. Mm-hmm. And then it's the next step from the Shidduch that we're able to go and do the treatment. This treatment is, yes, very, very expensive. And Baruch Hashem, we are going to help a very big portion for this year for a certain amount of couples because we had this fundraiser. You know, it's not just uterine transplants here.
Right.
You know, with Shidduchim. And in fact, this brings us into another initiative that we have.
Yeah.
That is the Shidduchim initiative. It's called KesherNetwork.org. There are many people that are, listen, Shidduchim, everybody knows. It's really, really very widespread. That we have so many, so many singles.
Yeah.
And the singles, many of them have medical issues, genetic issues that they know already. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the Shidduchim working on them, trying to help them out. But really, really, it's a very difficult road and journey. So we made this website, and we have 7 shadchanim that are working on this, and they are so, so happy to be a part of this because now they are actually seeing movement in what they have piles and lists of resumes and it was going nowhere. And the way this works is that singles, boys, girls, they can register online and put on that anonymously without their name. They put down their information about themselves, about their medical issues, what they're looking for, what neighborhood they are, how old they are, so on and so forth. We right now actually have 7 shidduchim that are made through this initiative.
Wow.
And we have actually 50 dates going on.
That's nice.
And anybody can go on and look through the resumes. It's because it's not with someone's name, and they call up and they they asked, I would like to maybe go out with this one and this one. The Shadchanim do their work. By the way, each and every one of these singles are vetted with their medical issue. Because how else would we be able to like vouch and you see, this happened way before network started. My husband was doing this with the counselors that people would call and say, I need this shidduchai. You know, do you think it's a good idea? My child has diabetes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should they marry someone who has diabetes also? The same, right. Illness. Everybody came up with questions. They would have to give their medical records. We would talk to the doctors and ask them. But this Baruch Hashem, after a number of years of doing this, we actually got this website. It was a very big undertaking, and we are very busy with it, Baruch Hashem.
So this is a network specifically for singles who deal with a medical issue.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Wow.
This is for singles.
Beautiful.
I love the format. I love the idea of having it anonymous and having everything there.
So actually, an instance of with Shadokhan is a boy, a man called up my husband and said, you know, my brother needs help. He's dating and he has an illness, disease, NF1, and he doesn't know how to break it to the girl. You know, he's further along in the dates and he doesn't know what to do. So my husband said, you know what, let him call me. I'll talk to him and I'll guide him. So he actually spoke to him and he gave him the steps, step by step, how to go about it. And he asked him, do you think that this is going to, you're going to be able to do this and explain it? So he said, actually not. I don't think I can. And, you know, he didn't want the whole thing to break up. He really liked the girl. So he said, my husband said to him, you know what? I'll give you my private cell number and she can call me. And the next day, he didn't hear anything. But a couple of days later, actually, he got a phone call from the brother of the girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And she asked him to please intervene on her behalf because they don't have a father. So he's the one who's, you know, helping her out. And my husband went and explained to him exactly what the disease is, what this illness is, and what they would have to do in order to bypass this illness. My husband asks, do you understand what I'm talking about? He says, yes. In fact, you know, you don't recognize my voice and you don't know who I am, but you actually helped me with two children. This brother of the girl. And he says, don't worry, I'm going to explain it to her. Where, you know, and Baruch Hashem, it went from there and, you know, it's history.
Wow.
So as you see, they need help. The people who, they're knowledgeable, they know they have an illness and it's complicated. So this is a huge undertaking that has really been very, very helpful.
Wow. In addition to everything else that you're doing with Bonei Olam, I mean, I only know Bonei Olam with the infertility work that you do. I had no idea.
So this is how people just think that Bonei Olam is just having babies. Baruch Hashem, we have spread ourselves into many different programs of helping people have healthy babies. That's the genetic program. Helping people get married, helping. We also have something else called cryopreservation. And this is when, you know, this is again, helping singles. Mm-hmm. My husband get a lot of phone calls in this. And it's getting more and more. There are many, many singles out there and they don't want to pass their age, their prime age. And so there's such a thing called cryopreservation, Baruch Hashem. We had this story. It's a 37-year-old woman, girl, single, who was really reaching out to many, many organizations, people, and she just wasn't getting anywhere. She was never diagnosed. And she knew that there was this thing about cryopreservation, and she was giving it her all, and she, Baruch Hashem, reached out to my husband, and my husband said, yes, And he says, I'll help you. He helped her monetarily. This is something that you have to do very, very quickly mm-hmm. after you're diagnosed to preserve your future. Mm-hmm. And he walked her through it, helped with the payments, directed her everything. And Baruch Hashem, she survived. And with Hashem's help, this, you know, she got married wow. to a widower. And, you know, he had children, Baruch Hashem. But she said, you know, I would also still like to have my own.
Of course.
And she was starting off naturally, but she got married. It was like 42. Mm-hmm. And by the age of like 44, she's 45, she says, you know, I think I better move this along. She had just 3 follicles. She started with the one and went through the treatments. It's a whole procedure, IVF treatment. And it didn't work. It failed. Now, after someone fails, it's very hard for that person, that couple, to get themselves back up to do this again because, you know, of the fears of failure. Is it going to work? It entails so much. It takes a lot of strength and koach to continue.
Yeah.
And so it took her another 2 years, about 47, and she said, okay, let me go and do this with the second egg follicle. And it also didn't work. Now, this is devastating.
Oh,
this is really, really devastating. And we're getting on in age, carrying also a baby at this age, not easy. Took her another 2 years. Mm. At the age of 49, she said, okay, Hashem, she put her koiches into davening. And I said, Hashem, this is it. I need your help. And you know what? She married a widower. It's she's helping those children. I'm helping your children. Hashem, help me. Baruch Hashem, at the age of 50, she gave birth to a healthy baby.
Wow.
Now, many people don't, 50 is it, but there is a history. This happened, think back, 13 years before we helped her with prior preservation, saving.
Wow.
Now, nobody knows what's going to happen from anything that we do. And this is in everything and anything that we do in Bnei Olam. We try and help. Do we know? No. You need Siyata Deshmaya. It's all up there. It's only with Hashem's help that we continue helping the couples, the singles, the people who they get diagnosed. So all these are many different programs that we have in Bnei Olam.
Wow. I'm so moved. This is incredible. I really am almost speechless. It's so beautiful and impressive and wide reaching, all of the work that Bnei Olam is doing. For those of us for those people in the Frum world who have not experienced these challenges or who don't have experience with Bnei Olam, could you provide some sensitivity training for us, some do's and don'ts maybe, in terms of how we should relate to our friends and family members who are experiencing infertility, who are dealing with this challenge? And what would you wish people would know about the experiences of these couples?
First and foremost is being there for that couple in a way that's not intrusive, not asking questions, rather being there in a listening ear, not questioning them if they don't show up to a simcha. Like, where were you? Maybe they're going, on treatment at that time. I know they have to go very early in the morning. It's very tedious. And, or including them, inclusivity, including the couple in the community. You're sitting at a chasana table and everybody, what do you talk about? You talk about your children. Mm-hmm. You talk about I'm shopping or I'm taking them to the doctor or, a bar mitzvah. It's painful. It's true. It is painful. When I was going through, you feel secluded from the community, society. Mm-hmm. You feel you're not a human being. You're not part of it because you don't have kids to show up with. It's a painful thing that you go, or people asking you questions. Don't stop talking when someone comes to the table at a wedding. Include them. Don't not tell them about your upcoming simcha mitzvah. Right. If someone is pregnant, do tell them. Yes, tell it to them, but it's painful, but at least you show you care for them. You're not excluding them. They feel I'm a part of this. And Emet Hashem, hopefully they will be also helped.
Right.
Parents, it depends on the relationship that they have with their children. A mother, if she's close to her daughter and she sees how she's acting or reacting to certain things, be there for her. Say, you need money, anything, I'm here for you. Don't ask them questions. That's not what you want to do. It's listening to them. If they you try to open up in this nice way a conversation, or maybe you let them know there's Bnei Olam out there. Maybe they didn't hear about Bnei Olam. And so you say, you know, I know that there's this organization, you know, maybe you want to call. You know, sometimes the daughter or the son will say, you know, ma, ta, you know, I'm taking care of it. So you step back, but then you say, I'm here for you whenever you need. Open your pockets, open your hearts to them, say, whatever it is that you need, we're here for you. Same thing goes with brothers and sisters. It be there for them in any way that, but when you're there, or sometimes they are going for treatment and they actually need someone to go along with them, to be in the facility with them. It's the hospital. They're nervous. They have to go. If their husband may be going for treatment and they're alone, they feel very, you know, really alone in this because they really don't want to talk to anybody about it. They want to keep it private. It is a very private issue. You know, this tzedakah, like I say, it's not an easy tzedakah to give because we touch on very sensitive private issues. So it's not like any other tzedakah in that way. Mm. And same goes for this tzedakah. We give thousands upon thousands at a time for a couple. That's a difference. So it's going along is a very big help. Sitting quietly, you don't have to ask, you don't have to know what's going. Offer and just say, yes, I'm there for you. Sometimes they call up at night, didn't work out. They had a failed cycle. They need to cry on someone's shoulder. Just listen to them. Mm-hmm. You know, by just saying, okay, everything's going to be okay, okay. No, listen to them. Just hear them. Be there for them in that way. Don't leave them hanging.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you mentioned about the bar mitzvah because I always wonder about that. Like if someone, you know, joins a table and then it's like, you know, that they don't have children and everyone's like, shush, shush, don't talk about your simcha. I think that would make someone feel really isolated. That person wants to feel joy for your simcha even though they may not have a child. Am I correct in that? Like how do you find that balance of like being sensitive but not completely excluding them by like being so sensitive that you don't even want to mention that you have children?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I had meant. You're coming, you're at, it could be after shul that people are talking, that there's a little, you know, four or five people talking about the upcoming simcha that they have, or actually at a wedding, people discuss what they're up to and how they're doing their baking and, you know, cakes and cookies for the bride. It's, you know, even sometimes they're going to want to say, hey, you know, maybe I can bake for you.
Right.
It's, they want to be included, as painful as it is,
mm-hmm.
as heart-rendering as it is, they still want to be included.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we lived on an island that there were no children, mm-hmm. then it wouldn't be that difficult for the people going through because everybody's, they want to be like everybody else.
Right, right, right.
They want to be a part of life. And hopefully with Hashem's help, we will help and try to help everyone in having healthy children.
Amen. Amen. Well, this has really been a beautiful conversation. We're gonna close off noting that, you know, this episode is being released on Erev Yom Kippur. And Erev Yom Kippur, we bench our children. And I know that many people are donating Erev Yom Kippur to Vizakini as they're lighting their candles. And they're thinking about those among us who do not have children. So you know, this is clearly a difficult time because it will remind couples who do not have children what it is that they're missing. So what message, we would love, Chani, if you could share with us, you know, your thoughts, the message that you can give to those of us who find Yom Kippur to be really a painful reminder.
It is a most serious and special time when we're benching lech before Yom Kippur, and we want to daven for everything that we need. And when we think of other people that are in a difficult matzah, and when we daven for others and show the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that we are there for others, we are thinking of them, we are doing tzedakah for them, because we want that our merits should be counted, and it's, and we're doing this together with like the Zakeini, and we're doing it together with so many thousands of people at the same time that Hashem sees all of our tefillahs that we're davening for that couple, for those two couples, that it's something that we want, that our merits should be counted. So when we're doing for others, Hashem really, really, he counts this and he weighs this. It's something that we all want. Our children should be gesund and healthy, and we should be healthy, and Hashem should give us whatever it is we need. When we daven for others, it's so much more. Hashem looks very favorably on people who think of other people, and it's done throughout the year, and especially right before Yom Kippur, going into Yom Kippur with all these mitzvahs and ma'as and tovim, that Hashem should give everybody a healthy and happy year, new year.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, Chani, it really has been such an honor and a pleasure to speak with you today. And just, you should continue to have a tremendous bracha and hatzlacha in all of your endeavors and helping all of the people of Klal Yisrael in the incredible way that you were doing through Bonei Olam. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share. Thank you. And have a good Yom Tov.
Good Yom Tov.
Yeah, you too. Gemar chasima tova.
Here's this episode's takeaway. We all have struggles and nisyonos. It's important to get educated about the right language to use when speaking about other people's struggles, especially when their challenges are medical related. Read up, listen to podcasts, and learn about a challenge that faces people in your inner circle as a first step. Well, you made it to the end of another DMC. Thanks for coming this far. And you know what that means. Please consider taking a moment to rate and review our podcast. Also, if you are enjoying DMC, please share the love and share a link with your friends and family.
So nice. I actually heard someone on another podcast said, and tell two people about the podcast.
Ooh, that's your job.
We should do that. We love to hear from our listeners. Feel free to send us an email at dmc@meaningfullyminute.org. And you can always find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out our show notes for the relevant links and info about each episode. See you next episode.